Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you know what I am jealous of you, Will?
Well, I was just thinking, you just mentioned, are you ginger and you're pretending not to be?
Yeah, he bleaches his hair.
No, firstly, I'm auburn,
okay.
If anything.
Auburn?
Auburn.
Are you?
Yeah, auburn.
That's what gingers say.
I'm not ginger, right? I'm just a bit. I can be a little bit auburn,
okay,
in the winter, but in the summer
you go blonde.
I'm blonde, and also this is why, because I got this blonde hair here. This is
transplanted.
That is also true, but only the front bit is transplanted.
Does that work? Because I'm going, and I'm thinking
mate,
about
it is. So I've only done the front bit of my head. I did the
how
very
did
front
how
bit.
Talk me through it, because I'm really intrigued.
It's unbelievable. They basically do. It's a long process. So if you're going to do it, really think about it. So they took 2,000 hairs out the back of my head in a process called drilling.
So someone told me it's from your ass. It's not.
That was your mate Matt, who he did chronic irrigation to. Yeah, no.
No, I believe you.
They take it from the back of your head, something called drilling. They do each individual hair follicle one at a time, push, 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 put in a little petri dish next to you.
Okay.
They then punch 2,000 holes into
the
front.
Like here,
yeah,
neck,
literally
right
at the back of your head. So the back of your head. So all at the back. So, but it all grows back quite well.
Yeah.
They can take a total of like 8,000 or 10,000 hair follicles.
Shit,
in the
that's
back
a
of
lot.
Head. Yeah.
So that what could they could potentially, if you were completely bald, they could fill your head.
Yeah, they can fill your head.
That's incredible.
But after 10,000, then your hair will start to be a bit patchy, I think, at the back. So you don't want
then I'll have to start reversing.
Just keep fading.
Well, sorry, we went way overboard.
They have to take it back from the other top of your head and put it back again.
Start taking it from your balls.
Yeah. Yeah. But they do that. They then punch 2,000 holes, or however many you want, in the front of your head. They then place it in. And then the process is of 2 weeks you have, it's pretty intense, kind of like thing where you can't roll over and things like that. But I would lie in my bed and I'd wake up in the morning and go, whoa, and rub my head.
Yeah,
and they could fall out. But it really works.
Does it hurt?
It's not fun.
Okay.
My face was swollen up. I wasn't in a good way.
Probably doesn't hurt as much as a 2K Olympic race.
It does. It hurts way more than that. You're just a
but I suppose it's no, because it goes on for hours.
So yeah. And it's not just in a one-er, you go back, right?
I did it on one. Mine's a one. Yeah, mine just went one. But I only had the front of my head because I had receded a bit, but I hadn't gone.
So sorry, my forehead is growing. So I'm getting a five head.
Yeah, I have.
And it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, but yeah. You're tall. I was going to be short and bald and fucked. I'm a short, bald reality star. That's a real. There you go. Any
hey, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, I'm the only kidding.
You're a podcaster too.
There we go, baby. I'm great. Hello everyone, welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still joined, our guest today, Will Satch. Hi Will.
Hiya.
Hello. Will, we got to get into the fact that you are injured at the moment. But you've had a pretty serious injury. It's not just like a twisted ankle. What's happened?
So I basically had two injuries in a year. It's all a bit of a nightmare. Should have just quit. So I had a heart procedure earlier in the year, and then I've just I ruptured my shoulder out on camp. So basically, we go up on altitude. We altitude train 3 times a year.
God, that's
is that quite exhausting?
Oh, it's miserable.
Yeah,
especially this camp, because it's this one. The first one we do every year is indoors. So
yeah.
you're literally up in a ski resort watching people ski, which is my favourite thing to do in the world.
And just rowing,
just on a machine every day, and then you're in the weights room every day.
Whereabouts in the world are you doing it?
This was Sierra Nevada in Spain, and then we either go to South Africa or Namibia in January. The guys have just been, and then there's a big one sort of leading into the World Championships or the Olympics up in Austria, which is our coach's kind of baby. That's his favourite spot. It's on a hydro dam, away from everywhere. Snow-capped mountains, champion view every morning at breakfast, but you really struggle to breathe.
I remember I went to Bolivia to La Paz, and we were in a car in the this taxi, and it was going up a hill, and I got out. We had to push the taxi up the hill, and oh my god, I couldn't breathe.
It's miserable, you can't
breathe.
But then you come back from that, and you feel.
So what does that feel like when you come back
so
after?
It's quite strange. You get like two spikes. So you get a spike. Obviously, it's planned and it's timed for Olympics. So it's the penultimate camp. You go to altitude. So for Rio, for example, altitude, Italy for 2 weeks, and then you get to Olympics, and there's a date where you know you've got a lot of I don't know how it works, but red blood cells,
hemoglobin,
all of that.
Hemoglobin, yeah,
that's a goblin.
Hemoglobin. It's just where the red blood cells go fast around your body, and they
because you need more
oxygen.
You need more red blood cells when you're at altitude because you
produce more. I don't know.
Hemoglobin. Where?
It's like
2 weeks. I don't know exactly the
facts and the studies behind it, but I know that it works. Our coach is a bit of a Germanic dinosaur, so it's worked in the past. It's worked year after year, you know, and especially leading in for me. But you come out the other end, and you, like, the day, for example, we did the semi, and then the day before the final, I felt like my blood was boiling. You know, you've gone from doing 200k a week to doing maybe 8 to 10k a day of training, and then you're about to race. So you reduce the program, you feel fucking good.
Yeah.
Basically.
200k a week.
Yeah.
What is that? Quick mathematic. Come on, you calculator, Francis. What is that per day?
In my 20 divided by seven.
It's seven.
Hemoglobin. Rough hemoglobin. Seven.
It's just mass. It's just under 30k a week.
Yeah, it's like 30, 40k
a day. And how long does that take to do 30, 40k? How many hours of running is that?
Well, we train from 7 till about 4:30 every day. So it's a job. It's a full-time job.
You're just sitting on a rowing machine for that long?
No, obviously you get to eat quite a lot in between. And then one of the sessions is weights as well.
So
going forward then.
Yeah, it's a hard check. So you do all this training. You go up there. You have these spikes. The training works. But then what happened to your shoulder?
So we're the first altitude camp of the year and sort of got to the penultimate day of coming back. You're really fatigued. So the thing with altitude, you don't really recover, and that's the point. Your body is just getting an absolute beasting more than usual. You're training just as hard, if not harder, but it feels harder as well, obviously, because you're lacking the oxygen.
Yeah.
So you're really tired after. You get down to weights, and we had a max testing day in the gym. And I'm not going to say the weight, because it's probably quite embarrassing to a lot of rugby players that will probably be listening, but I was bench pressing quite heavy for me. And I was going up, and it
was. What was the weight?
It was about 400 kilos. It wasn't. I'm joking.
120.
Close.
125.
Yeah, something like that.
But
basically, it came down, and I pushed up, and snapped my pec major tendon. Big sort of knee jerk.
Did you feel
reaction.
It rip? Did you hear it?
Did you feel it? It's not actually painful, weirdly, but I was sick immediately. Shoulders up in your ear. I knew I'd fucked up. You know those memes where they're like,
nailed it.
Yeah. or the one where he goes, this is where he knew he'd fucked up.
Yeah.
was there and I fucking went for it and it just pinged. And I was like, shit. Oh, like, I know I've done some damage here. Anyway, everyone tries to hope and thinks that it'll be okay. Coach actually said beforehand not to do it, so I was in the black book.
Were you sick as soon as it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I left the gym and went through it. It was horrible.
Oh my lord.
But that's just something going on in your system, isn't it?
Your nervous system knows
something up.
Because you're suddenly also you probably didn't. You went, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
I was trying to like hold my shoulder down, but everyone knows.
Just trying to walk it off.
It's all right.
Help me.
I was literally trying to brush it off, and it didn't happen.
And so that was your first injury, and that puts you out for how many months? Is that?
So it's been 2 months now since I've had the op, and I'm slowly coming back now.
You have an operation on your
shoulder, yeah. Yeah. So they go in and put three rivets into your shoulder with the tendon. But again, supported really well by the British Olympic Association. They have, like, obviously amazing healthcare. So I came back and actually had a scan the next day, and then I went in to have the operation on the Thursday. Amazing consultant.
That's insane.
Couldn't
I love
after better.
And just quickly, can I, just because I'm obviously not a runner, I'm sure lots of our listeners aren't, where does most of the power come from? Is it your legs or is it your arms?
Yeah, it's all very leg dominated.
Okay, so when you're rowing, you're going back and forward on your legs. If you ever see it, you're sort of sitting down, you're pushing. I'm trying to explain it to someone who's like a toddler.
So you're on like a rolling seat.
A rolling seat. So it's mainly your legs, but your shoulder.
Well, explain, like, you go into the gym, go on the leg press.
Yeah.
That's rowing.
Yeah.
But then you've got to hook up the hands as well.
And so your shoulders aren't, it's not the biggest energy.
No, I'm a little bit unorthodox. So I probably use them a bit too much. Yeah, it's very leg dominated, but you know the stronger you are generally, as long as you can pattern it right, the better.
And then that was your injury. So that's now taken. But you also had a heart injury. You had a heart and you had a broken heart. What happened? Let it out.
Open up. It's private parts.
Someone broke your heart. What happened?
That happened. That did happen.
It did.
No, we won't get into that.
we touched a real nerve right there.
Oh dear.
Oh God.
Oh, stop it.
I felt that over here.
The death stare. No, I was getting atrial fibrillation, which is basically, explain it like your heart beating at 200 miles an hour. 200 beats a minute feels like 200 miles an hour, and it stops and starts. Really erratic.
My resting heart rate is 46.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. But you're
it will change a lot.
You're impressed by that, aren't you?
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks very much. 46, everyone. Anyway, continue your story.
Continue the story.
Yeah. So
it's very common in sort of 50, 60 year old men that work a week and they go out on their brand new Pinarello at the weekend and they drink a lot.
Sorry, what is a Pinarello?
Nice bike.
Hang on. So your idea of, okay, so 50-year-old man, he smashes it all week, works really hard, then I go out on my Pinarello.
No, they do. They go out on their bikes. There's a lot of them around.
Yeah.
Like,
not
Thames
his Ferrari.
Valley.
Doesn't jump, but it doesn't jump in his Ferrari.
Don't pretend.
They're called mammals.
Yeah.
Middle-aged men in Lycra.
They look like... they look like potatoes. The shape of a potato.
Lycra is not a flattering
leggings.
Thing on a...
I now know what you mean. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a racing bike.
So it happens to a lot of people. So they go out and do that. And
they basically, you know, put away the coffee, have a pretty shit lifestyle, don't sleep. All of that stuff added up can create a bit of an issue. For me, you know, my way of switching off was... I'm not a massive pisshead, but I like... I guess, again, a bit unorthodox. I like, you know, seeing friends outside of rowing and propping up a bar sometimes. It's good crack.
Going to string fellows, all that
or
kind of stuff.
Or, like you said, going into women's toilets and having a shit. No, that's not actually my cup of tea, really.
How Jamie, you know, sees away the days.
Yeah. But basically, it was becoming more and more prevalent leading into Rio. I went to one of the altitude camps I went to. It really... kind of stirred it up.
Can you feel it? Can you notice it?
Yeah. So some people can't, apparently. But because my heart, I guess, is the biggest, it's the engine, isn't it? I guess it's the biggest muscle that we use. It feels horrific. I can't really explain it. I don't feel myself. I sort of go into a shell. I'm a shell of a man.
What makes you a bit depressed?
Oh, it's horrible. Because you just feel like your blood's not pumping around properly. It's basically your heart just erratically.
Fibrillating.
Do you feel anxious? Would you feel
anxious.
Oh my god!
Really stressed. And it used to come and then go. So then I was taking this. There's a thing called Flecainide. It's like a pill in the pocket. So you take that and then it will go back into rhythm.
Is it like a beta blocker? Or
no,
something?
It's not a beta blocker. I don't know what it is. It's got some sort of. I honestly don't know, but it used to work. So I used to take that.
And we'll just quickly, and just because when that probably first started, did you just pass off saying, oh, I just feel a bit anxious or something?
Well, the weird
thing is,
I used to get it in resting. So my mum used to swim.
She swam the channel at 13 years old.
Did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's unbelievable. At 13 years old, swam the channel.
Yeah, she's a tough woman.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite
of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
She's the sort of woman that will, you know, if she's walking down the street and there's someone walking on the other side quicker than her, she'd be livid. And she's got to overtake him. She's that competitive. Yeah. So that's, I get that from her side, which helps.
So she's crazy.
Do not speak about my mother
I'm
like
joking,
that.
I'm joking.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
And
so you had it as a kid?
I had it as a kid. It got more and more common with more racing. Heart wall got thicker, got worse. Led into Rio. It was too late to get the operation. Come out the back of Rio. Didn't want to get the operation because I guess I was a little bit scared, like most people are, about heart operation. But it's actually, it's called a procedure. People go and get it and they're not even put out for it. So I think because my heart's big, I did, and I'm obviously a tall guy. So I actually went under general anesthetic when I had it, and they go up through your femoral artery or vein. I think it's your vein, into your atria, and then they create scar tissue where the heart's active.
Seems very like, I mean, obviously it's very precise, but I mean, to actually be making scar tissue, it's like not like you can take it back. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how do they, like, what if they, like, you know.
So you can watch it online.
Oh, God.
I'm like fascinated by it. You know, there's a guy who's basically got, it's like, it looks like that. It's like a straw that he's holding, and he's just sort of. Like France,
when you roll your zoots.
It's like a massive cone.
Yeah.
He's just rolling it for hours because he doesn't know what he's doing. But basically, you know, it's sore to me, but I came back after 3 weeks and then still had a few issues with it. But now, touch wood, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's insane. And do you feel much better because of it?
Yeah.
And so you haven't had any of those...
There was a few issues coming back. Obviously, because they go up through that artery or vein. I still don't know. I think it's a vein. It kind of... And they're in your heart. It creates... there's a lot to do with like your neuro system.
Yeah.
So your body's kind of shaken up. I afterwards went down with my ex down to Devon just to get away. We went for a walk, and I could barely manage a 15-minute walk.
Really?
So that's how it started. Really?
I guess it's because you're like recalibrating.
Oh, massively! Yeah. It's like almost like a reboot, you know.
Yeah. But also, we're going from someone who is incredibly fit, and your whole lifestyle is about, you know, sport and you know, competitivity and things like that, and then suddenly going on a walk and can't actually do 15 minutes.
Well, mentally, yes,
it's mentally it scars, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
it really would, and I think that's what's so hard. And I think a lot of people will relate to that kind of thing. And you know, France, I've been pretty open and honest about all these kind of things, but even, you know, in sport, you know, sport is one of the biggest places where people feel have mental health and things like that and have those anxieties, whatever it is going through, because not only
so much of it is psychological as well, so
So it's tough. So because your life is preparing yourself for the next 4 years, for the next, you're preparing yourself for the next race, for the next thing, so you're constantly at that point, right?
Which when that is goes, tough. It's really hard. I mean, I've gone through it recently, probably the worst. I mean, I'm really open about it now. Before, I used to just bury my head in the sand, classic bloke.
Like we all do, though. Mm. Like we all do.
And as soon as you're a bit more open about it, I'm seeing a counsellor, and it's really, really helped. And it's refreshing. And I feel like I haven't changed. Mm. I'm still the same person, but I'm just dealing with things in a much more productive way.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's exactly how I've got to be.
It's so funny how you say, because I saw therapists and things like that because of my issue that I had. Mine was a bit too much. Bit too much partying, I think. But mine had loads of different things. But it's so interesting because what you realise is it's that self-awareness that you gain from it. And it's so true. They said, guys, what they do is they bury their head in the sand and they ignore it.
Yeah.
And if they're feeling depressed or they're feeling sad or they're feeling anxious or they're feeling worried or whatever it is, or paranoid, whatever the situation is, they try and ignore it. And it's actually...
And that builds up in you.
That builds up. And you become this balloon that is being blown up. And at one moment, it will pop because it's inevitable. Yeah.
And I think also the process of talking through it, like, almost sets some things in order. Because you kind of acknowledge certain things and assess things in a sort of verbal way. Like, what speaking is a very therapeutic thing in and of itself.
Massively. You
know? And also, how do you think, because there's obviously a lot of sportsmen who come out of sport, like you said, whether it's rowing, whether it's football, whether it's rugby, whatever it is, that go through that process of going, suddenly you're, or even in the military, I spoke to Jason Fox the other day, who went through this whole kind of situation where you lose your USP, you lose your sense of identity, because for the last 10 years, you have been rowing or you've been playing a sport. Yeah. So then how do you sort of change your life around, change your life and become a different individual in a sense, but still saying the same person?
Look, I don't think there's an answer. I think it's so hard. Yeah, I know guys that sort of took me under their wing when I came into the team and have had really, really big issues. And for me, learning from that is quite a big thing. Mm. You know, I mean, I can't give you an answer because I haven't done it. I've come out of school. I've managed to get into the team really young. I've been successful, which is great, but you know, in a couple years' time, maybe another four after Tokyo, who knows if I can come back? Like, I'm going to have to hit reality.
Mm.
And the biggest thing is going from, I think, being an athlete, especially at the top end. Like, I'm going out there every day, and my you set these small targets to achieve a goal, mm. and that's how I've thrived. I think in how I operate in life. So all of a sudden, you finish and you've achieved it. Like, where do you go from there?
Mm.
And you go into potentially a dead end job that you know nothing about, and you're being told what to do by a 21-year-old. That's going to be fucking hard. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But there is no, I don't know. I don't think there's potentially enough in place.
There's no obvious path.
No.
You know, for that.
And there really should be, and there should be more investment and more time spent on rehabilitation of sportsmen going back into the normal world.
We started
doing it with the military where, you know...
Which they had neglected for a long time.
For years, right? You were paid, when people came back from the war or whatever, they were given like £3,000.
You're off.
And
you're
said, done. See you later, even if they'd lost their leg. And I think what's going to happen now is that people are going to look at the military, and yes, there's probably arguments saying that the military go through horrendous situations and things that they have to try and deal with, but being a sportsman and going that for your 10 years and being dedicated to one sport and...
Well, because you're doing it for yourself, but also your country, right? You know, to achieve that level of sporting prowess and achievement, you have to basically make so many sacrifices for to actually attain that goal.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of parallels as well.
I still think like passion is the biggest thing. Yeah. And it sounds really cliche, but if you're passionate about something and you can have a job like you guys doing this, for example, it's fun.
Francis loves doing it.
No, really. But like jokes aside, like you're passionate about doing
true.
It.
Yeah.
And
love it.
It means that it's a pleasure to do every day.
Yeah.
And if I can get that back with rowing, then there's no reason why I can't carry on.
Yeah.
But passion for me, like, that's what it's got to be led from. Otherwise, what's the point doing anything?
I completely agree. It's so about in life doing something that you love to do, that you want to do. And I tell you why we are very fortunate, and a lot of people aren't dealt this card, but the reason why we are quite fortunate is because we were able to discover what we wanted to do in life. You know, you were given the chance to row and play rugby and all these different things, and France and I we were given the chance to go and either, like, you know, I was given the chance to perform on stage, and I knew I loved doing that, and so where was the way I was going to get into that kind of area? And a lot of people out there don't have that choice.
Exactly.
And that's what's so hard.
Well, they go through, you know, most of their life not doing what they want to do, you know, or what they
it's opportunity as well. Like the three of us being and growing up around the Thames Valley, like that's really uncommon.
Yeah, man, it's so
we are extremely lucky.
I read this book, you probably read it, called Outliers, which is all about luck.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, luck and situational things. And he talks about how, for example, ice hockey players, like 78% of ice hockey players are born from August to December.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, because when they're, you know, four, five, six.
Because they're a year above.
Because they're older than the boys.
So they have an advantage from the beginning.
They've got a bit more strength, a bit more weight.
And at that age, it's all about speed and size.
And aggression.
And so as a coach, you focus on the boys who are bigger. So even though there's a guy who's born in March who's smaller, but maybe more talented, he doesn't get that shot. And it's, you know, you grew up, you know, in the Thames Valley area, so you got introduced to rowing. And it's just such as... And so we should really... Not to get too fisted.
Don't get too fisted on us.
But we should really count our lucky stars.
Yeah.
That, you know, we do go through these hardships, and, you know, Francis, myself, you, we've all had our ups and downs mentally in terms of our mental health and things like that. But we are very lucky that we can kind of sort of look back at our lives and realise that we have had to do things that we love to do.
Mm.
And that's it.
And... So we spoke ages ago about this, but I was thinking, like, how if obviously I haven't rowed for a very long time, but if I went out and did like an altitude training camp and like got super like pushed, like, could I come back and row Henley, do you think? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could come back and row, like, there's no reason
why. Challenge,
but everyone can come back and row. Like, it is open. You just got to, I think, is it, you know, it's not going to be fun coming back.
No, it's
I
not.
I think you've got to. You really want to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, right, Francis, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
So the question of the week, if you remember, was, what was the first US collegiate rowing club?
Will, you said Washington and I said Harvard. The answer is?
The answer is Yale.
Yeah.
Oh, I was close.
Which was founded in 1848.
I was closer than you. I feel like I was closer.
I'm livid.
Yeah. You should
I've
be.
I've been
Will.
To Yale's boat club, actually.
You have? Is it lovely?
Yeah. No, it's very nice.
Hey, do you know what else is so lovely?
What?
The fact that we're going to have your diary.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday. I don't think I've ever been to Dulwich. And I'm inclined to think that this may have something to do with the name. It may well be a nice place, but it just sounds boring.
It does sound boring. I couldn't agree more. Dulwich sounds boring. It sounds like Roehampton. Just boring.
And like everyone just walks around scratching themselves occasionally.
In Dulwich?
So they've got a dull itch.
Oh, God's sake. Literally walked into that.
Even thinking about it makes me feel itchy. Imagine what it would be like to live there and be constantly reminded of that dull itch you can't get rid of whenever you order a taxi. Don't even really know where it is. Somewhere. Where is it?
Well, your itch or Dulwich?
Dulwich.
Oh, it's south. It's south.
Is it?
It's South London.
I thought it was near Leicester.
No, Dulwich is South London.
Oh, right.
Near Leicester? What? South London?
All right, well.
Dulwich College.
I really should go there.
Yeah, you should go there.
Someone was stabbed just 50 yards away from Prince George's School, and the press are going crazy about it. But why? I mean, it's ridiculous. Prince George has his teachers and bodyguards watching him round the clock. It's just, there's just absolutely no way he could have done it. That's the end.
Oh, is that? I liked it, man. I liked it. I thought it was great. Hey, Will, thank you, man, for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Ad. Been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Will Satch, you're a legend, you're a hero, you are an Olympian. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Gold medalist, member of the British Empire. Oh, yeah, how was that? What was that like, getting your...
That was great crack. Yeah, I took the family along, and it was just really special. It's a cool thing to do.
It's quite an epic moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fully deserved, buddy, honestly.
For towing on an oar, that's it.
Yeah, but it's so much more...
But doing it very well.
But also it's your just commitment
doing
to...
Doing it the best.
The best way.
It's your commitment to a sport and your commitment to that kind of lifestyle, which is... not anyone in the world can do that. You know, there's a very rare few can do it. So I congratulate you massively on that. Will, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. What we like to do is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, God, you've opened it up. And you've given me a warning as well. And I've got nothing.
First one ever had a warning.
Give me something.
What about if you'd like to get involved in rowing? Go to britishrowing.com.
What does your coach say to you before you row? What does someone say to you?
It's completely broken English, so I don't even know.
What advice did your
honestly, I'd say if there are any rowers listening, I'd sort of just keep your options open, and everyone sort of sees. I remember being at school and seeing sort of my heroes rowing in the team, and I was desperate to get in there, and I did it very young, but I'd you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there, and if you're offered there's scholarships to the States and stuff, just be really open and make sure that you're enjoying the sport before you just attack it and get stuck in before it's becomes really serious. Just enjoy stuff a little bit more and be passionate about it.
Yeah,
fucking love
and if
that.
You are very tall, then do they still have world class start?
I don't know what's going on with that anymore. Potentially.
If you're very tall,
if you're very tall, you could probably be a good rower.
That's Francis' advice.
Well, it makes your bones grow, doesn't it, Francis?
Yeah, exactly. And it will make you grow even taller. So, Jamie, there's still hope for you.
I think I'm too late for that, boys. Will Satch, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Can we follow you on Instagram?
Absolutely.
Oh, Will Satch, here we go.
At Will Satch.
Will_Satch.
Just
drop that one in.
Hey, Will.
Go slip into his DMs, check out his gold medals.
Yeah. Hey, Will. I love you. Say it back to me. Say it back to... Oh, I can see it in your eyes. That's okay.
I don't need to say it. I just look.
There we go.
You see it.
The look of love.
Glasses.
Will Satch, thank you so much. Appreciate it. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.